While we're on the topic of the statute, here are two quick legislative updates. And Tom and I both want to thank Aaron Legarza. He's the one who alerted us to these. And so, first of all, sad news for those lawyers in here who are dependent upon the procedural mechanism found in the anti-SLAPP statute, the TCPA, in cases of this nature. And by procedural mechanism, what I really mean is billing opportunity. And so the Texas House just passed by the margin of 243-1, HB's 2730, which would amend the TCPA, Chapter 27 of the Civil Practice and Remedies Code, to remove the following suits from the orbit of the anti-SLAPP statute. You could no longer bring it if this becomes law. If the legal action applies to a non-compete, a non-disclosure, or a non-disparagement agreement. But it's currently being considered in the Senate. It may well pass. And so if you like using this procedural mechanism, don't lose heart, because as you can see, the language here only applies to non-compete agreements or these other kind of agreements. And as we all know, on the plaintiff side, management lawyers love being plaintiffs. Everyone has a plaid sport jacket in their closet that they want to get out and be a poor plaintiff's lawyer in. And so when management lawyers are plaintiffs in non-compete cases, they can't help themselves. They're going to sue not only for the violation of the non-compete, but they may often sue for violation of trade secrets, right conversion, duty of loyalty violations, all of those kind of things. And if this passes, all of those other collateral causes of action could still be subject to a TCPA challenge. So management lawyers, people looking to enforce the covenant, are going to have to make a choice. Do I sue only under the non-compete, which means it's smooth sailing and no early motion to dismiss, at least under the TCPA, or am I going to broaden my causes of action and see what happens? Or, of course, we could all wait and see what happens and how the courts interpret this language. And so Bob Sheeter, in the keynote address, will be talking about the TCPA in an hour. The second legislative enactment is from our own, who we love here in Austin, Gina Hinojosa, who wants to amend 1550 to make covenants not to compete not enforceable against an employee who earns less than $15 an hour, no matter what you're the artist of. That passed out of committee. It is now languishing in the calendars committee. It is probably dead, and by that I mean more than mostly dead, right? Not all the way dead, but probably beyond Miracle Max's jurisdiction, and we may not be seeing this one anymore. All right, getting back to the statute. Today, in its current iteration, the statute, as we all know, has two halves, the blue half and the red half, right? The blue half is the total gobbledygook half. A covenant not to compete will be enforceable if it is ancillary to or part of an otherwise enforceable agreement. I think we can all agree that those phrases convey no actual information. What does that actually mean? And so that led to a huge number. It's like saying a covenant not to compete is only enforceable if it is grand populous and flotasmic, right? They both give you about the same level of information about this supposed nexus that's supposed to exist. And so, as you know, this led to a large number of fights that the Texas Supreme Court decided was too artificial. And so we have now the red language of the statute, which says if it meets the first part, it has to be reasonable in terms of time, geography, and scope of activity. And, right, remember before the word was that, does not impose a greater restraint than is necessary to protect goodwill. So that is now supposedly the business end. The red language is the important now part of the statute. Why do I say that? Because, as you all probably know, the Texas Supreme Court in two cases has said, I don't want any more artificial fights about what's grand populous and flotasmic. I want to know what's going on in terms of reasonableness and the other factors. concerns that have driven disputes over whether a covenant is ancillary to an otherwise enforceable agreement, such as the amount of information the employee received, its importance, its true degree of confidentiality, the time period over which it was received, are all better addressed in determining whether and to what extent a restraint on competition is justified.